And I think I'm going to enter and compete. It is a real thing. It's done in Las Vegas every year, sweeping and mopping and vacuuming floors and all that. So when I ran across that, sent it to Ashby and Walt, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. It got to me looking at some more crazy things that are going on out there. And I think this may qualify for a nerd alert, Walt, because the stat that I found needs to be used with the football committee when they're figuring out teams that need to play in the playoff, okay? And this stat is a William Quackenbush stat. These are the top 10 universities in the nation, okay, for STDs.
All right, yeah, that's a nerd alert. Let's go ahead and put him in a nerd alert. Before we get to this, that's definitely where that is.
Nerd alert!
Whoa, 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 wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me that this is a nerd alert?
That's right, Marty. We've entered a nerd alert.
I think we might be abusing this a little bit for the record.
There you go. Hey, and this is from the CDC. This is not Scott cracking on anybody, but I think we need to change it from the SEC to the STDEC.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, no. Sir. But there's one surprising university in this top 10, okay? So number 10 is New York University, which I don't know if you know they play football, do they? Arkansas at 9. Maryland at 8. The wine and cheese crowd at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, comes in at number 7.
Contaminated wine
then
and cheese.
Then our little brothers in Columbia are at 6. Then you got the Georgia Bulldogs, who, you know, they're going to compete in everything. Why not this too, you know? Alabama at number 4, okay? Now, this is the one that surprised me. Alaska Anchorage comes in at number 3.
Wow.
What's going on in Alaska?
Over Bama? You know? Bama's even slipping in this. This is all Kalen DeBoer's
Not
fault.
Not many things to do in Alaska. Just saying. A lot of free time.
The next two will not surprise you, my friend. Our old buddies at Ole Miss are number 2. And who just left from there? Lane Kiffin, he probably helped them numbers a little bit.
Oh,
but who
Lord.
Comes in at number 1? LSU.
Oh, boy.
So Lane Kiffin is fitting right at home down there, brother.
So what you're saying is if you're going down to the LSU game, you should just take antibiotics just to be safe. That's what I'm hearing.
More than you want, you need to take it. You know, it's a crazy stat. But anyway, I just thought I would enlighten your show a little
bit. How do we get – is that self-reported? Like, how are we prying this information from people?
I don't know. But LSU has 792.4 people per 100,000 students that come. It's taken since 2023, I think. So however that works out. But how are they figure that out? But that's per the CDC. So be careful. And school's starting back. So that's awareness, too. It's a safety awareness call today. So just be careful where you're checking in at school at today. But anyway, just wanted to give you that. Bravos are back on the winning streak. Had a good game last night, Qualk. I don't know what the magic number is. I've been too busy looking at STD stats to figure that out, but I'll figure it out as we get going. Enjoy the show, man. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks very much, Scott. Appreciate the phone call. There's nothing that screams August 12th more than I was going to look up the Braves' magic number, but I really got invested in these STD stats.
I know Scott's got a lot going on, but hopefully he can get away on August 27th and come see us at our kickoff show at Southern Weaving Food Hall.
It'd be perfect for him.
Yeah. We could, you know, we can pass the mic and let him give us those stats in person.
36 is the Braves' magic number. 36 after last night. Combination of Braves wins or Phillies losses. Phillies play the Cardinals this afternoon, I believe, 2:00, 2:15. Something like that. You know, none of those schools really surprised me other than, you know, Alaska Anchorage. The numbers that he gave, less than 1% at the top. I think that's a good thing. Less than 1. Even LSU, number 1 on the list, more than 99% of students do not have an STD. And a text from the 843 points out, at least you don't have to worry about that at Cornell. You just worried about the bears.
They're just busy gutting bears in the dormitory.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Listen to yesterday's show to catch that reference.
Texter asked this. I want to get back to some of the conversation we were on before. Texter asked, where was it?
We were also talking about some stats during the break that we were going to revisit. Or some odds,
rather. Oh, yeah, the odds about... I'll find that text in a second. It was an interesting question about the Clemson side of this. I'll get to it in a second. Okay, there... Because you were talking about... Okay, those are not great odds. Like, they're pretty sure that this is going to happen. For four teams to have those odds.
Yeah, I told Quack, a four-team parlay to make the college football playoffs... And it was what, plus 220, something like that?
It was plus 227.
So for a four-team parlay, those are actually not great odds. When you consider how many variables are coming into play there, for all four to hit, that actually is not great odds, which tells me that Vegas thinks there's a great chance those four make it.
All right, so let's play a little game. Let's play a little game. I give you four slots. There are eight teams. I'm at FanDuel right now. So these are up-to-the-minute numbers at FanDuel Sportsbook. There are eight teams with better than even odds to make the college football playoff. You can parlay four of them. And I'm going to go ahead and say the objective is to win. Not necessarily max out because you've got it's better than even odds. You only get four. I'll list them, and then you tell me who's in your four, okay?
Okay.
Notre Dame is number one on the list at minus 750.
Okay.
Miami is two, minus 340, tied with Oregon at FanDuel, minus 340, Miami and Oregon. Indiana, minus 300 is next. Ohio State, minus 280. Georgia, minus 250. Texas Tech, minus 200. And Texas, minus 175. You can take our four-teamer of Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, all going back, or you can replace. What would you want to do there?
I would go Notre Dame, Miami. Let me just tell you, I would go to Notre Dame. They're very good. Their schedule is not very good, and they can lose two games and still get in most years.
Most years. And listen, you don't have to be one. You just have to be 12.
So I'm going to go Notre Dame. I'm going to go Miami because if they don't get in by winning the ACC championship, there's a good chance they get in as an at-large, and somebody from the ACC has to go. So that would be my rationale for Miami. I'm going to go Indiana, defending national champion, manageable schedule, great coach. And then I'm going to go Georgia. I think that would be my four.
Okay. So you're
Notre Dame, Miami, Ohio, Indiana, Georgia.
Notre Dame, Miami, Indiana, Georgia. Okay. I'm going to go Notre Dame. I think that's – I still don't think they're going 12-0, but I think 11-1 is very much on the table for them. And they're very good. I'm going to go Notre Dame 1. I'm going to go Georgia 2. I just think – like – who else is winning? Texas winning the SEC? I mean, I think Georgia's just going to – I think they're going to roll through most of the teams they play. I feel good about them in the SEC championship game, getting the job done once they get there. I just feel sure – and especially if you're telling me, and I know this isn't the deal, but you're telling me I get better odds with Georgia than I do five other teams? I'm going to take that.
And now, but I was not putting mine in order. I was just doing them in the order in which you mentioned them.
Right.
I think Georgia Notre Dame would sort of be 1A, 1B for me.
Yeah. I feel very good about those two. You know, I also feel really good about Texas Tech because I think they have a talent edge on everybody on their schedule. If quarterback is reasonably good, I think they get there. And, like I said, the odds are somebody's got to win the Big 12. I don't even know who the next best team in the Big 12 is. Is it BYU? Is it Arizona State? You know, I don't know. Is it Oklahoma State with their whole new roster? I don't know. I just think they outclass everybody. So that's number three. And I think I'm going to go Ohio State at four. Not because of anything about this team, but just because I think a college football playoff that doesn't have Ohio State in it means that Ryan Day has failed. I think Ohio State has the highest floor in the country. And that's why I would do that. Now, again, I think Indiana, there's a lot of reasons why I think Indiana can make it. My issue with Indiana, though, is they got solid quarterback play from Curtis Roark in a year one situation. They got Heisman-level quarterback play from Fernando Mendoza. They lost a lot. And I don't think Josh Hoover is better than as good as Fernando Mendoza. I think Hoover is more of a Roark than he is a Mendoza, personally. So you don't have the element of a year one surprise. You do have a downtick in quarterback play. You lost some receivers. They got a couple of fifth years back, which I think is interesting. So that's my question there. The two new coordinators at Oregon, I told you about my issue with Miami. I think Miami gets in, but they're going to have to get in as an at-large. And I feel better about the teams that I chose. I know I said that four of the eight or four of the 12 were all that carried over from year one to year two. The only one of those eight that I just am not sure if they're making the playoff is Texas. On paper. What would be the argument for Texas making the playoff given that they did make it 2 years ago? They certainly did. But I watched that team play last year. I've watched them struggle in moments where they should not struggle.
I think you could make the argument they should be better this year than they were last year, though. And they were knocking on the door. I don't feel very confident about them, but they are now an SEC team, so they're going to get a mulligan there. What about or anything else on them?
The one thing about Texas is that they're a big... Big as a maybe not big. There is a step on the rake factor with them. They lost at Florida last year. They won ugly at Kentucky in overtime. They won ugly at Mississippi State in overtime. Arkansas, they only beat by 15. That game was kind of close. Like, it was between two scores and one score the whole time. Even if you're looking at that going, okay, Ohio State is a toss-up game and Oklahoma is a toss-up game and at LSU and at Texas A&M, they're likely to struggle at Missouri. So they're likely to struggle at Tennessee. I have some questions that just – I can't fully trust Texas. Can't fully buy it.
We probably need to figure out who we think is going to win the Big 12 because Texas Tech is on that list and – I always overlook Texas Tech. Somebody's going to win the Big 12 and somebody's going to get in. And when you look at their schedule, Quack, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It is gravy.
Yes.
BYU would be a contender, certainly in the Big 12. But they've got, well, I know they play Notre Dame in the non-con. I can't remember. Let's see, I have to pull up their schedule.
They are at TCU, at UCF, at Utah, at Kansas. Is there away from home in league?
Yeah, that's much tougher than Texas Tech's schedule.
Texas Tech's road games are at Colorado, at Cincinnati, at Oklahoma State, at Baylor. They don't have to play BYU. They, let me see.
I tell you, another Big 12 team to keep an eye on is Houston.
I think if we're doing dark horse, here's what I love about Houston. Well, what I love about Houston is Willie Fritz, period, end of story. Love Willie Fritz. Last year, they went from 4-8 in the regular season to 9-3. They had a 5-game uptick that coincided with these results. 3-point win at Oregon State, 3-point win against Arizona, 8-point win at Arizona State, 3-point win at UCF, 7-point win at Baylor, and a 3-point win in the bowl game against LSU. They won a lot of close games. When we come back, I want to talk about how I don't think that's an anomaly. I think we can believe these numbers. 654 Roar is the number. It is going to be in a weekend, or I guess 15 days, 2 weeks and 1 day, our college football kickoff show, 15 days away. And it is going to be, it's going to be a big time here in Easley. I was like, do you know my first instinct when that played? And this is, being the oldest of four kids, I think I have this ingrained in me, to just shout louder than the, just be louder than, hey, I'm talking here. I'm going to be louder. Oh, man, that was amazing. That was amazing. Okay. Records in one score games. We say this across all sports. One-run games in baseball, one-score games in the NFL, one-score game. It doesn't matter. That these are, it's the same as turnover margin. Most of the time, if you have an outsized turnover margin, plus or minus, the next year it reverses. So over a long period of years, what you're going to find is you're basically at zero. But sometimes you get the benefit of some turnover luck, whatever. It just doesn't last forever. It's going to be some regression. The same is true of one-score games. It's a combination of execution and good fortune that you win a bunch of one-score games, usually. I make exceptions to that because there are coaches that have excelled at one-score games. Clemson fans hate hearing it, but Dabo has talked about the record in one-score games, and we played the clip of him from his press conference last week where he said on Thursday, the last 15 years, and he gives the record in one-score games.
Lost three games by a total of 11 points.
That's it. And he's like, that's on me. That's on me. I'm the head coach. That's my responsibility. And then he talked about how it was a strength and conditioning thing. We had that whole discussion. Well, the reason that was a big deal is because Dabo's been able to say that we still win one-score games. I talked about at the time, in 2021, the team was not very good, but they executed and won one-score games. 2023, not very good. Executed and won one-score games. 2025, not very good. Did not execute. Lost one-score games. Feels a lot worse. So there are programs and coaches that do a really, really good job with one-score games. Last year, Houston was 6-1 in one-score games. Willie Fritz in his career has been a really good one-score game coach. 2 years ago, they went 4-8, and they won 2 one-score games. They were 2-1 in one-score games. So that means in 2 years at Houston, this guy's 8-2 in one-score games. So you're telling me if I can get Texas Tech in a one-score game in Lubbock, that I'm not giving Willie Fritz the edge? That's another thing, too, man. When we're talking about the Big 12, I struggle to figure out if Joey McGuire is a good coach at all. Why is Texas Tech good? How many things do we list at Texas Tech about why they were good last year before we say Joey McGuire's name? Don't we think about Cody Campbell first before we think about
think McGuire? About the money before you think about the players and the coach and, so, yeah, and all that?
You know, do we know that Dave Roberts can coach? Because he's the manager of the Dodgers? I mean, congratulations. You're the manager of the Dodgers. Do we know he can coach? I have the same question about Joey McGuire. Do we know he can coach? In a coaching battle between Joey McGuire and Willie Fritz, I'm sorry. I know what the rosters say, but if I'm in a one-score game, I'm taking Fritz. especially with Joey Hammond at quarterback for Texas Tech or whatever his name. Will Hammond? That's his name.
Will Hammond.
That's his name. And Houston's got Connor Wegman. I mean, I understand people are going to laugh at me at this. Sign me up for that. Or they got Keyshawn Henderson, the number one quarterback in the last recruiting cycle. They got 2 5-star. Willie Fritz, his famous quote from the offseason is, I've never coached a 5-star quarterback, and now I have 2. He's got Wegman. He's got Henderson, older quarterback. What if you get in a 1-score game with Kansas State on the road? What if you get in a 1-score game at Utah? What if you do that? All I'm saying is, sign me up for the Willie Fritz 1-score game experience. And I don't think you want to get in a 1-score game fight with Willie Fritz. Texas Tech, over the same time frame with Joey McGuire in the last 2 years, who, by the way, in the 3 years prior to last year, they went 8-5, 7-6, 8-5. I think Joey McGuire is that level of coach. I think he's a 7-8-win coach that won 12 games last year because Cody Campbell decided he was rich and he should do rich people stuff. In 1-score games last year, including the postseason, you'll be shocked to learn that Texas Tech was 0-1. They blew out everybody. They were blown out by Oregon. They lost by 4 at Arizona State. The only close game they played last year, they lost. 2 years ago, they beat Abilene Christian by 1 in overtime. They beat Arizona State by 8. They beat Cincinnati by 3. At Arizona by 6. That's 4. They lost at TCU 4-1. They won at Iowa State 5-1. They won Oklahoma State. They were 6-1 then. That was pretty good. Maybe I shouldn't give them quite as much grief. We could go back further, but I think you get the point. Texas Tech is designed to blow everybody out. If they don't blow everybody out, you get in a 1-score game. I'm taking Willie Fritz.
Can I interrupt you for a moment?
Yes.
I'm really not watching, but on our television is the New England region elimination game. Why not? Am I reading it correctly that the two teams, Vermont and Maine, that the Vermont team is called the Camel Humps?
Please let that be true.
That is the greatest name in the history of sports. The Camel Humps.
Not even camels.
Not even camels. We're not claiming the whole camel. We're claiming the hump. The Camel Humps.
All right, yeah, I'm going to need
that. That's unbelievable.
There's a lot of text on the front of that jersey. I'm going to need that curveball was nasty.
See, yeah, there it is.
All right, that's what it is.
Camel's Hump. I said Camel Humps, I think.
The Camel's Vermont Hump. Camel's Hump.
Are they playing the Savannah Bananas? It sounds like one of those.
If they did, that's it. Camel's Hump. You know what? Is Camel's Hump a town in Vermont? I'm going to look this up. Please tell me this is a place. Camel's Hump is a mountain in Vermont. It is a place in Vermont. Camel's Hump is a 4,083-foot mountain, shout out to Google AI, in the Green Mountains, the third highest peak in Vermont, located in Camel's Hump State Park near Duxbury and Huntington.
Never heard of it.
Camel's Hump. If Camel's Hump played the Bananas, they'd have to be the Banana Peels. Camel's Hump, Bananas Peel. I'm down for that.
What a fantastic name.
Savannah Bananas? You gotta make that happen.
We could get them to play the team from South Carolina known as Sugar Tit. That would be the Camel Hump.
Can we do a pre-camel? Just because it is hump day. We've got Camel's Hump out there. We just need to hear from Mike.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
That's all you get.
That's it. That's all we get because it's not official, but absolutely. Text from the 864 says, totally agree on Fritz. He is a coaching dude. Is there a better coach in the Big 12 than Willie Fritz?
In the Big 12?
I would take him over McGuire. I'm gonna look through. I would take him over McGuire. Kalani Sitake.
Oh, give me that dude.
I think Sitake can coach. I'll put him in the same tier. Utah, who's the coach that went to get Utah? Morgan, what's his face? Never coached. Morgan Scally.
Morgan Thomas.
Yeah, that's it.
Morgan Wallen.
Same. Obvious. Arizona.
Sitake at BYU would be number one. Fritz would probably be number two for me at Houston.
I don't even see anybody. Kenny Dillingham? Close. Maybe Dillingham. They've had one really good year at Arizona State.
There are several coaches that I like in the Big 12. Lance Leopold. You like old Lance?
I do like Lance. I do like Lance. I put L squared in the Fritz category, but Fritz is at Houston where they have money. And Leopold's at Kansas where they have no money, except for basketball.
Texas says, give me Prime all day. Okay, you can have him. Coach Prime, do you believe?
I mean, okay, you like four wins? I can find four wins.
Your boy Scott Satterfield.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Ben. That's funny. Man, just rim shot that one. I mean, that's just the best joke of the day so far. I'll tell you.
Big 12 media day, you say, coaches over here, the Scots over there, Scott Frost, Scott Satterfield, y'all go stand in the corner.
Let's have a staring contest over there. Don't bother anybody. You know who I think is – everybody's on Oklahoma State. You know what I'm really interested in? I'm really interested to see Avery Johnson in Colin Klein's system. I think Colin Klein is quite good. I think Colin Klein could have had a better job than Kansas State. And I'm of the opinion that Colin Klein is going to elevate Kansas State. He's going to be a really good fit for Avery Johnson. Johnson really never got to play for Klein. Like, Klein was there 22-23 as the OC. He was quarterback coach before that for a while. And then left for Texas A&M for the last 2 years. I think Colin Klein's a really good coach. And everybody's off of Kansas State because Avery Johnson's got family issues.
I don't think Colin Klein's a great coach.
You don't think so?
He's adequate.
I think Kansas State, I can't quit him. I can't quit him. Sonny Dykes? Sonny Dykes coached in a national championship game. We hadn't even said his name yet in this conversation. Eric Morris from Oklahoma State. There's some Rich Rodriguez. Not today, but Lifetime Achievement Award. Pretty good coach. There's some intriguing storylines in this league. I'm glad we're talking about this league a little bit. Like the one coach. Let me ask this question. Oh, this is a bad one. Who's the coach in the league that you trust the least? Dave Aranda? Jimmy Rogers is new, but...
Scott Satterfield?
Yeah. Scott Frost? I don't know. Scott Frost and UCF is the secret sauce, man. I don't know. I'm such a hater on McGuire. I'm not sure McGuire can coach at all. High school coach, hired on staff. I don't know. That's one of the disappointing things that happens in my brain is that when a coach gets hired to a team with a bunch of resources, I automatically discount everything they do professionally. I can't help it. I think a lot of people are like that out there.
Tex, you're talking about Kenny Dillingham, and I agree. I do like Dillingham. I do. I like him a lot. But Sitake at BY freaking U is 84-45. I mean, he has some challenges recruiting there. Some obvious challenges. He's 84-45.
I think you're selling me on this one. They had a rough transition year to the Big 12. You know, the last 2 years, they are 15-3 in the Big 12 and 23-4 overall after their transition. That's quite good. I mean, Bronco Mendenhall had them like 8-10. Mendenhall did a great job there too. Sitake, though, I mean, that's the best 2 year stretch they've had in decades. The last 2 years.
Yeah. Now to the Kenny Dillingham texture, he's 13-5 in conference play in the last two seasons. That's strong as well.
I think I discount Dillingham because of some of the Leavitt stuff. They annoyed, their program annoyed me last year. I'll admit that.
Yeah. It's hard to know who to blame there, but Leavitt quit on them. I mean, he quit on them.
And they still, even with his in and out, up and down, whatever, like, they went to Iowa State and won. They beat Texas Tech. They won. Are you talking about winning close games? One at Baylor by three, beat TCU by three, beat Texas Tech by four, one at Iowa State by five, beat West Virginia by two. Close game guy. Kenny Dillingham, as a young coach, that's hard to do. All right, let's take a break. We'll go to the phones. We'll get to more of this conversation. Hour two continues next.
College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers as they break down everything you need to know. The Roar, where every day is game day.
My friend Nick Lavery, Nick Lavery Law, nicklaverylaw.com. This is where you go if you're in a bind legally, you need some help, you need some assistance. You need somebody to come alongside you and help you through a tough time in your life. If you've made a mistake, if you've been wrongly accused, wherever you fall on that spectrum, Nick can help you. College student, you've got the DUIs and the MIPs, you've got drunk and disorderly. These are charges that don't have to ruin the rest of your life, but they can if you don't have proper representation. And Nick has 25 years of experience in the Clemson community of representing folks who find themselves in these predicaments. Great for students, great for parents, great for peace of mind. For more now, he can help you. Wrongful death, vehicle accident, all that kind of stuff, he can help you as well. NickLaveryLaw.com.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
Do you want to be part of a winning team? Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries and help people get back in the game. And best of all, they've been recognized as one of the country's best workplaces in manufacturing and production for 9 years. If you're looking to make a difference, learn new skills, and be part of an award-winning culture, check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
For decades, Best Buy Metals has been shaping more than metal. We've been building strength. One roof, one wall, one community at a time. Made to withstand difficult storms. Because what we make doesn't just cover buildings, it protects what matters most. Visit us on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greer or online at bestbuymetalroof.com. Best Buy Metals, designed to inspire, made to protect.
All right, hour two continues out of bounds. William Quaggenbush and Ben Milstead with you. 654-ROAR is the number. If you'd like to get in on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, the Adams & Co. Roofing text line. Text from the 864 says, Mario Cristobal in one-score games can't be that good. This is, and honestly, I looked this up during the break. This is where narratives sometimes get you in trouble because you would think that. Now, again, you look at a whole career is different than snapshot of the moment. But last year in close games, Miami beat Notre Dame by three. They beat Florida State by six. They lost to Louisville by three. They lost to SMU by six. So that's 2-2. Then you go to the playoff. They beat Texas A&M by seven on the road. They beat Ole Miss by four. And then lost to Indiana by six in the national title game. So they went 4-3 last year in one-score games. 2 years ago, Miami beat Virginia Tech by four. Beat Cal by one on the road. Beat Louisville by seven on the road. Lost at Georgia Tech by five. Lost at Syracuse by four. And lost to Iowa State by one in that Pop-Tarts Bowl where half the team didn't even play. So you're talking about slightly above. I mean, Mario Cristobal to me, now he's not going 6-1. But he's above 500 the last 2 years in one-score games. If we go back further, you're probably going to see a similar deal.
that knock on Cristobal was true until it wasn't.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that was a thing for a long time, but you can't ignore the fact that he was really close to winning a national championship last year.
Like, when's the last time they just mangled the end of a game? Just absolutely ruined the end of a game. They got to the national championship game because they managed the game better last year, in my opinion.
Was it Georgia Tech? I mean, you know, there was. You got to go back 3 or 4 years where, remember, there was a game where he didn't call timeout.
That was Georgia Tech at home. That was 2023. That was bad.
That was mangled as mangled can get. But yeah, I mean, to your point, that not been the case the last two seasons that I recall.
They're 23-6 the last 2 years, and I believe before 24, I can look up the timing on this. I believe he hired somebody to help him with the management stuff.
And listen, it's hard for me to give him credit, so.
That's true. Yeah, if Ben's defending Mario Cristobal, then we are in the upside down. Yeah, Riley said this. Didn't Miami run the ball instead of taking a knee and they fumbled? That's exactly what happened. They could have just taken knees and said they decided to run plays and fumbled, and Georgia Tech ended up winning. Let's go to Darren and Pickens, who's up with us next on the Pratt Andrew Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Darren.
Hello, fellas. I am fully planning on being at the August 27 kickoff with my yellow Air Force hat and my Gamecock shirt.
Let's Fantastic. Go. Yes.
I might wear my orange shorts to go with it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's not advisable. My wife would tell me to go back in and change if I tried to leave with all that.
Peacock Darren, that's what we'll call you.
Yeah. Okay. Peacock, yeah. So I was just wondering, you know, I know this is probably not real popular with some of the people, but just getting your thoughts and perspectives on what you expect out of the three big military schools this year, Air Force, Army, and Navy. I know I'm trying to get out to Colorado Springs and watch Air Force and Navy play, I think the first Saturday in October. I've never gone to one of those types of games, so I'm trying to get there. I was just wondering what you guys thought about the military schools.
You know, it's a great question, Darren. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. This is honestly the one where we can probably use some old school thinking, because there's not a lot of transfer in and out. There's more transfer out than in, but you get to use sort of the classic. Here's what they had. Here's what they did. Here's what they bring back. I think you got to start with Navy. They beat Army last year by a point in a very good game. They beat Air Force by 3. They were otherwise a really good team. They were 11-2. They've lost 5 games combined the last 2 years. And they do have to make a quarterback change. Blake Horvath, who was very good. That to me is a reason to maybe doubt them a little. But they return a lot. Most of their running game is back outside of Horvath. And perhaps most importantly, their defense returns a lot at Navy. So I'll start there with them. That feels like exactly the place to start. With Army, they finished above 500, lost to Navy. Like I said, they had some tough luck, man. They lost in overtime. They lost to Tarleton State in double overtime to start the year. Okay, that was bad. Then they beat Kansas State, as we know. North Texas beat them in OT. Tulane beat them by 7, Tulsa beat them by 1, and Navy beat them by 1. So that Army team probably should have been better, and contrary to what Navy has, they do return a quarterback who rushed for over 1,200 yards last year. So I think Army is going to be right up there. And then the third team is Air Force, and Air Force is a little more of a wild card situation, in my opinion. They've got a little bit more of an interesting setup with the shifting sands in the Mountain West, where Air Force, they do return some folks. But again, the schedule looks very different. Again, you had all those teams from the Mountain West that left to go to the newfangled Pac-12. They went 4-8 last year. They've been under 500 two straight years. So I feel confident in saying that Air Force may be a little beneath. But they were a really young team last year. I expect them to be better. They're going to a bowl. That is my very, very quick synopsis of all three service academies. Ben, anything to add on the service academies?
Not going to lie to you. I know nothing about any of them for this year.
I'll enjoy the Army-Navy game.
Yes. I know about as much about those three as I do every season. I will just continue to root for them and look forward to the Army-Navy game.
We got
to
do some – they're popular win total picks. Like, if you can get a good value, like, with a team with a – like, Air Force, I don't know what their win total is. If it's, like, 5.5 with all they've got coming back, schedule eases up, in my opinion, take the over. Try to get some value there with the service academies. Before we get to Will Vannevor in our next segment, Ben, Riley asked this question during the last break. And I'm going to ask Willie V about this, but it was something that came up in Dabo Swinney's press conference yesterday. He says, just saw where the Clemson scrimmage is closed except to former players, which is new. This isn't the only new thing we've seen implemented this year. What do you guys attribute Dabo being more guarded than usual to?
Oh, man, do I know.
This is a complicated question, I think. I would say this is a continuation of a creep that has happened over time is like the big picture answer here.
This is strictly my opinion. I know that over the last couple of years, Dabo's been annoyed by leaks in the building, as any coach would be. It's not that he's necessarily trying to hide anything. It's just there's a code of conduct if you're a student manager, trainer, etc. There's do's and don'ts, and it's being abused in some cases. And it's not, I mean, it's also being abused by support staff, and it's not just students at all. I think when you have a quarterback controversy, perceived quarterback controversy, and you have people believing everything that they read, and now mind you, some of it is true. I'm not discounting everything out there. But when people say, my uncle Jim Bob is a big donor and he went to practice and he said that Christopher Vezina can't throw the ball more than 40 yards. That becomes gospel with people. I have heard people that are very intelligent in the last week that I know say, I keep reading how such and such is better than such and such. And I want to go, what's your source? How do you know that with a closed scrimmage? Again, If it is David Hood or Larry Williams or, Grayson Mann, guys like that that are writing this, I'm going to believe it because their reputation is at stake. But when you've got 14,000 Yahoo websites run by Yahoos around here at every school, it's not just a Clemson thing, you're going to write anything to get clicks in some cases. And I think it has gotten out of control. I mean, I really do. He's always had closed practices and closed scrimmages, but there's a lot of loose lips, and it's getting worse and worse and worse in the football program.
I agree with that.
And I know that there are people who think that everything should be open. I am not disagreeing with you. I'm giving you my opinion, and you're asking why I think they are doing this, and that is why.
I think Dabo Swinney's job is to beat LSU.
And I should have mentioned Will Vannevor in that list, too, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk to him. He knows he's in that list.
Yeah.
This does have to do with LSU, right? Like, you're not quite as guarded if you're playing, no disrespect, but like Florida A&M or Alcorn State or the Citadel. Like,
I don't know. Is it a secret who, like, if this is about quarterback, is it a secret? Is there anything... If LSU says, okay, Christopher Vezina is the starter, or Tate Reynolds is the starter, do they change their game plan?
I don't know if they do, but I do think if you have an opponent between practice and LSU, that there are certain things that you're going to have to show LSU.
Now, you also have the element of Chad Morris and the way that plays are called. I would want that guarded.
That because that is an element of surprise that, you know, I think doubly so that you have a new person in your scheme, but also a guy that hasn't called plays in a few years. There is some, I think there is some mystery there. I think there are some personnel things where, you know, I've got questions about offensive line. Do they not want LSU to know their offensive line personnel? I could see that. Defensive tackle. Who the heck is, who knows who's going to be a defensive tackle? How are they going to use some of the safeties?
I think this is more about the Clemson fans' perception of the team than it is LSU's.
We'll ask Will Vandervoort for his thoughts at the top of hour three.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is